Stevie, do you have our special? Okay. I didn't know if anybody had the special today. All right. We're going to let our young people slip out. Take your Bibles and look in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And actually, our main text is verse 17. But we're going to invite you to stand as we read, beginning in verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 11 as we begin reading. I think Miss Kate has the kids today. Miss Katie, her first time going out with the kids. So Brother Jared said, pray for his wife that she survived. I'm thinking, Brother Jared, you got five kids, right? She can handle that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty, that is your freedom, for a cloak, that is a covering for evil, in other words. But as the servants of God. Our text verse is verse 17. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. We're going to speak to you today on a subject of showing respect, a value that we have lost in our society. I honestly believe is an important value that we see as lost or missing, and that is the lack of respect. And may God help us to regain that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God today, and we thank you for allowing us to gather back in this place and to sit under the preaching of your Word, but also, Lord, to participate in the singing as we worship you. Well, Lord, I thank you for a place that we can gather in like this, the comforts that we all enjoy today. Lord, may we not take for granted the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, the good health, the ability to be here. Lord, we pray for those that are sick and shut in, that you would comfort them. We, in particular, as we've said earlier, we pray for the Parrish family as they gather here in just a little bit, that you would just be that strength, that comfort that you've promised that you would be during difficult times. Now bless the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We started out several weeks ago, and actually this is number six of the series that we started that was entitled Values That Last. A few weeks ago we looked at maintaining balance, something that we obviously have lost in our society is balance. And today we want to look at showing respect. You know, we live in a very unkind world today. As unfortunate as that is, sadly it's becoming more and more unkind or mean-spirited. You know, seems like by the minute. Common courtesy isn't so common anymore, even in the South. You know, Southerners are used to be known for that Southern hospitality. But yet even in the South, we're seeing that there's that unkind spirit, that show of disrespect that seems to have set in some ways. It seems that respect for people is as an all-time low. Our favorite kind of humor today, as you can tell on the late night programs, if you take time to watch that, or even on social media, is sarcasm. In other words, just putting find a way to put somebody down in society. We see that in politics today. I mean, it's sickening to watch some of the political things that are going on today with some of our politicians just putting one another down. And I realize that may be part of politics, but that doesn't do well by teaching our kids what really we should be doing in society. We find that that there's a great deal of disrespect that's going on, and also it just seems that that's the norm to some degree. You take, for instance, the attack that we have seen just recently on our police officers. It is a shame that we're seeing that today. I realize that none of us like to be pulled over by a police officer. I sadly to say, I have a few times, but I was treated real, real well. Sometimes I got by with some things, when I deserved. But there's one thing I was always taught: you better treat the man in blue with respect. And I realized, by the way, in society, there are bad apples everywhere. There are bad preachers. I mean, bad dentist. I mean, really, you've got some that are bad everywhere, and they're going to be bad police officers. But it seems like it's just the thing to do now that we mistreat, show disrespect. And by the way, some of the things that are being said in the face of police officers today, you wouldn't get by with it. But because it's politically correct to keep your mouth shut by the police officers, or at least they fear their life to some degree, maybe, or losing their job, we see that should not happen, but that's where we seem to be today. There's a lot of disrespect that are taught to our children today, and sadly, it's taught by adults today. But the Bible makes it very clear that respect is one of those values that is necessary for life. Would you agree with that? It is necessary for life. By the way, the Bible is very specific about this. We find that we are to respect parents. The Bible has made that clear. We find that we're to respect people in authority, respect church leadership. The Scriptures go on to instruct wives to respect and reverence their husbands, and husbands are to respect and reverence their wives. And if we think that someone doesn't fit the above categories, the Lord tells us that we should respect and honor, He says, all men. Look, if you would, in our text in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, says, honor all men. This is, by the way, referring to that inner respect that we're to have. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, that's speaking to the church, fear God, honor the king. We all want to be respected, do we not? Matter of fact, we would go to the extent that we want to other people to treat us with dignity. Not that we're anybody special, but we want to be treated that way, with respect, with dignity. So today we're going to look we're going to look at this missing characteristic, and we're going to consider maybe the why, and we're going to consider the how of showing respect. Let's begin by looking at four reasons this morning why we should respect everybody, listen to me, regardless of their lifestyle, regardless of their decisions in life, regardless of their behavior or their beliefs. The Bible says every person should be treated with respect. I didn't say that, but God's Word says that. So the question is, why show respect? Give you four things to take note of. First of all, because God made everybody. God created everybody. We know that to be the case. So the psalmist says, if you want to look there, you can. Psalm 8, verses 4 and 5. David says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? In other words, that you take thought of him. And the son of man, that thou visitest him. That God, David says, that you even care for him. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. God has always treated his creation with love and respect. But yet, why should we show respect? Because God made everybody. Everybody, as we all know in Scripture, is created by God. And God doesn't make junk, by the way, does He? He really doesn't. God doesn't make mistakes with us. Sometimes we look in the mirror and we think, boy, I wish God would have done this. Or little. Listen, God never makes junk. He doesn't make mistakes. There are no worthless people that God has ever made. Now, by the way, there are people who do worthless things. There are people who do worthless things. Matter of fact, there are people who do wrong things, but they're all created by and they're loved by God. You see, even the most unlovable person is loved by God. Now, there are people that it's hard for me to love, and I'm sure you can say the same thing. There's been family members the same way. There have been people that maybe you work with the same way. But listen, we have to look at people through the eyes of God, don't we? We have to see them as God's creation, that God made everybody. Honor and respect, by the way, listen to me. Honor and respect doesn't mean that we embrace or that we endorse what they do, or even when they believe, or even what they believe. But we respect the individual as a creation of God. There's a lot of people in our society, I don't agree with what they do. I don't agree the fact that that they may be atheist or whatever. But you know what? Whether I agree with it or not, God says we are to treat all people with the respect that He has treated mankind. You see, we have to keep that in mind. God, we understand when we look at people sometimes and we see them being different than we are. And sometimes it may be of another race. It may be of another gender. Or maybe of another nationality or religion. We have to look at people, again, the way God sees them, that if they've got issues, if they've got problems, we may not endorse, we may not embrace what they're doing, but we have to keep in mind that God isn't finished with any of us yet. He's still working on us. If you have family members, and some of you do, that some of them are faced with things in their life, sin that you cannot agree with, whether it be alcoholism or drugs or homosexuality or whatever it may be. Listen, we live in those times today. You know, we don't agree with the sin, but yet we have to look at the person the way God sees them and just think, well, you know what? God can change that person. God can. Because look at us. Look what God has done for each and every one of us by His grace. And we have to see people the way God sees them, that He's not finished with us. Philippians chapter 3, if you want to turn there. I like what Paul says in verses 13 and 14 in Philippians 3. Paul says, brethren. Now, who is he talking about there? That one word says he's talking to brethren, to believers, to children of God. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. That is to lay hold on it yet. Now, you have to go back and see he's talking about running the race. That crown. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, that is ahead, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what? We're all a work in progress. Every single one of us. You know, you may be doing all the right things, at least in your mind right now. Everything's going well. You're in church today. No better place to be than being in church, right? Listen, you may be reading your Bible as you should every day, doing all those so-called things that keep us spiritual, right? But you know what? We're still a work in progress. Because that one sin that sometimes we may see had gotten a hold of somebody that we thought, well, that never happened to me, could very well happen to you. You know, I like the song, He's still working on me to make me what ought to be. And I don't know all the rest of it. I'll quit singing there. But you know the rest. Is He still working on you today? He is. Paul says He was still working. We're still a work in progress. You know, so let's not forget where we came from. Sometimes we get to a point in our life and we think, well, I'll never go back. You may never go back to where you once were, but you know what? It's easy sometimes to give in to sin. That's why we have to confess our sins daily. Not that for getting saved every day are all over, but yet we have to remind ourselves, as long as we're in this flesh, we're still sinners. And God's still working on us. We're still that work in progress. And may we never forget where God brought us. Let's remember that we're all made of the same stuff. And what is that? It's flesh. So we have a tendency to look at somebody and we think, well, I wouldn't dare wear my hair that way. Now listen, we live in today's times where people have earrings everywhere. Tattoos galore. And by the way, if you have any of that, I'm not up here trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but I realize that sometimes you go out in the places. I was out not long back and fella had his pants almost down to the ground. You know what? That bugs me to death when I see things like that. And I used to, when I go into a restaurant or a place and I saw a fella with an earring in his ear, I'd turn around and walk out. I didn't want no guy waiting on me with an earring in his ear. Now, that you wouldn't get waited on today if that was the case. You say, preacher, you shouldn't feel that way. Well, you know what? I don't feel that way now. I don't feel that way now. Now, I still don't like it. I still don't endorse those type things. I'm not encouraging that and wouldn't dare encourage that to my kids or whatever. But at the same time, I realize that I've got to look at people. We have to look at people and treat people the way God treats them. And that is with the respect of God, because they are a creation of God and God is still not finished with working on us. And we look at people sometimes, whether it be family members or people we work with, you know what? We may not endorse their sin or whatever it may be, but we have to pray for them. We have to encourage them and show them the respect that God would have us to show, simply to maybe reach out to that heart that is hardened. Oh, listen, that's easier said than done, I realize. But we have to do it the way God has taught us to do it here. That's a value that's lost of respect. And why should we respect others? Because Jesus died for everyone. Jesus died for everyone. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. You're in 1 Peter, but go to verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, that is, perishable things, as silver and gold, for your vain conversation, that is, your futile way of life, in other words, received by the traditions from your fathers, that is, they were inherited from your forefathers, in other words, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Why should we show respect to others? Because Jesus died for everybody. Now, we may not think much about somebody, but God does. To the point that, in fact, He says that they're worth dying for. Now, there's some people that you would give your life for, maybe a family member, a child, or whatever. But I'll be honest. There's some people I wouldn't die for. I really wouldn't. And I know what you believe the same way. But I tell you what, aren't you thankful today that Jesus didn't look at us that way? Aren't you thankful that He didn't pick and choose who He would die for? Because you may not be in that category of people that He would die for. But I'm thankful that the Bible says in John 3:16, for He died for the whole world. Everybody. So that means if He died on the cross, that includes me. That includes you. And that also includes the one that we sometimes think is unworthy. I would have never died for Osama bin Laden. I would have not. But for some reason, I know what the reason is, but it's hard for us to comprehend why a God who knows everything would go to a cross and still die for someone that we would consider unworthy. But He did. If we believe the Bible has been true, the word all means all, and that's all means. He died for everybody. By the way, the cross shows how much people matter to God. Jesus died for all. He died for people who don't believe in Him. He died for people who reject Him. He died for people who choose to obey Him. I've been on Facebook a few times when people would get on rampages. Atheists would come on there and they would really badmouth believers. And boy, it just boils my blood when I see one come on television and put down Christians for, but because the very thought that goes through my mind is the very God that you are putting down, the very God that you don't believe in, He went to the old rugged cross and He died for you. But I also have to keep in mind that as long as that atheist, whoever it is condemning the God that we believe in, the God of the Bible, as long as he has breath in his body, he can still get saved by the grace of God. You see, the flags that we see flying represents people all over the world. I mean, from countries that many of us have never been to and we may never go to, but they represent different lifestyles, these flags do. They represent different backgrounds. They represent different languages and religions that Jesus Christ gave His life for. We read of a letter the other night, and I can't remember what missionary it was, that in this particular country, they worship their ancestors. People who have died. Some worship idols, cows. Is it India that worship cows? I love to eat cows. That wouldn't work for me. But you know what? Sadly, they believe in that. Jesus died for them. That's why we have missionaries that go to these countries to show them the truth. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth, that is, He proved His love toward us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for me, but He also died for the world. You know, America, by the way, still the greatest country on the face of the earth, I believe America is. With all of our problems that we face today, I'm thankful that I'm an American. And I believe that we have done a great deal in this country to get the gospel around this world. But you know what? Sometimes we in America, we think that Jesus just died for us. But He didn't. He died for the world, as I know many of you know that. And thank God for that. And that's why we have a missions conference, to remind ourselves that, hey, we're to be that church like every church should be, that preaches the gospel, that not only preaches it at home and reaches our own Jerusalem, but we need to reach people around the world, and we can be doing that at the same time. That's one of the reasons why we have a missions conference, so that we don't lose perspective of the fact that, hey, let's don't disrespect these countries just because some we may not agree with. Listen, we need to get the gospel to them, don't we? Because Jesus died for all. John 3:17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Another reason, thirdly, why we should show respect is because it shows that we know God. It shows that we know God. It's a value that we've lost in our society. Just, in other words, just disrespect the ones you want to disrespect. And God says that's not the way to do it. We show respect because it's a testimony to others that, hey, that's a believer. That person has something that I want in my life. That person knows God. Now, I'll tell you, it's a lot easier to show disrespect to people when I was a lost person. When I was lost, man, and I don't mind telling you, when I was a kid, man, I was a fighter. I really was. I had a little bit of my mom's temper within me. It did get better as I got saved and especially started growing the Lord. And used to, if somebody would mouth off at me, I'd just give it right back at them. And I still have to battle with some of that, as all of us do. But yet, as a Christian, whenever I show disrespect, and I have done that, and I'm sure you do as well from time to time, God convicts me of that, and I have to confess it and make it right. But I tell you, the more I grow in the Lord, the less I want to show disrespect, because you know what it does? It ruins my testimony. It hurts my walk with God, with others that I'm trying to reach. You see, when we show respect, a value that's lost in our society, when we show respect, you know what that does to especially to that lost person that we work with or that family member that we bite our tongue over sometimes or whatever? It shows that we know God. 1 John 4:8 is a good verse that goes with this. 1 John 4:8 says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." In other words, the one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So the Bible says that God is love, and if I know God, as it says here in 1 John 4:8, if I know God, then I'm going to fill my life with the love of God. That is Christ-like love. And by the way, Christ-like love always treats people with respect. Jesus was a great example of that when he walked the face of the earth and during 3 years of his earthly ministry. He was not welcome in most places that Jesus went, but you'll notice how Jesus treated people that mistreated him. You know, some would say, well, and I've heard people say this, well, he didn't have much of a backbone. He didn't stand up, you know, whatever. Listen, Jesus demonstrated a love for mankind that we are to demonstrate to others. If we are, see, our mission is, it's not just to eat, drink, and be merry and live this life and say when we come to the end of it, look what I've done. Our mission, and the reason God keeps us around, is to be that gospel message to a lost and dying world that we need to be. And how can we be that? By demonstrating the love of Christ. You see, if you look at the life of Christ, see how he treated people. Look how he treated the woman at the well. I mean, look how he treated the woman that was taken in adultery. Go back and read that. Look how he treated Nicodemus and Judas and Peter and others. If I'm a believer and I call myself a Christian, then I'm going to treat other people the way Jesus did, right? That's what we find here in this passage in 1 John. If I claim to say I know God, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, then for us to go just the opposite of Christ would really place in doubt to those, or is that person really a Christian? You know, they claim to be a Christian and look how they treat. Now, by the way, sometimes I know we can, some people can judge us wrongly by our stand, and I'm not speaking of that. You know, just because you stand against sin doesn't mean that you're wrong. But yet, it's how we show that respect or lack of respect that makes the difference. You see, I'm going to treat them the way Jesus treated them. That's what we should do, and that's with value and dignity. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. It talks about charity, but that word charity is really speaking of love. It says, love does not behave itself unseemly. That is, does not act unbecoming. It seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh to do no evil. In other words, it does not take into account any wrong that's suffered. But preacher, you don't know how bad they've mistreated me. No, but God knows. And you know what? God will allow us and give us the love to be able to love that person back. You know what? That takes spiritual growth, doesn't it? To love people back that are unlovely to us or mistreat us sometimes. Sometimes that may be church members. It may be family members. But yet, that's what God says we're to do. We're to show that we know God by our respect and love for others. And then the fourth thing. Why should we show respect to others? Because of the law of the harvest. Because of the law of the harvest. What do you mean by that, preacher? If you would, look over in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Why should we treat others with respect? Because of the law of the harvest. And Galatians 6, 7 is an interesting passage, but yet there are a number of things that we can receive from this passage, but one thing I want to point out here. Paul says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also," what does it say? "Reap." Whatsoever a man soweth, generically man or woman soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, whatever goes around, you ever heard that? Whatever goes around comes around. And you know why? That's pretty true of a statement, I guess, to some degree. You give it to me, I'm going to give it back. Sometimes that's the way we are as Christians. And they mistreated me, preacher, so I'm going to mistreat them back. Or they said something unkind to me, and I'm going to give it back to them. Well, you know what? What goes around comes around. But you know what? If we apply Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, whatever you give out, you're going to get back. But I like Matthew 7, verse 12 says, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law of the harvest. Proverbs 11:17 says, the merciful man doth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. I read this statement the other day concerning biblical love. And they said, the writer says, biblical love isn't responding kindly to kind people, but biblical love is responding kindly to unkind people. Well, that's hard to do, isn't it? The flesh teaches just the opposite of that. If we live in the flesh says, just show disrespect. If we live in the flesh, then we're going to do what society says do, what the late night programs tell us to do, or social media. If somebody has done you wrong, just do them wrong. And sadly, that's what's being taught in our society to our kids, that if somebody does you wrong, if this police officer has done you that way, then you treat them that way. You know, in the last, I think a week or so ago, there was, what, 7 police officers that were shot and killed, murdered. Just because somebody says, hey, well, they've mistreated me, I'm going to get them back. Sad. We've lost the value of showing respect today. Real quickly, give you 5 things to close with. In a world that's full of rudeness and disrespect, how can we show respect to others in a practical way? This is not on the screen, but I'm just going to quickly run through this. I really don't have time to elaborate. 5 practical ways to show respect. Number 1, when we speak, we need to be tactful, not just truthful. What do you mean, preacher? When we speak, we need to be tactful, not just truthful. I like what Proverbs 15, verse 4 says, a wholesome or healing tongue is a tree of life, but perversiveness therein is a breach in the spirit. The primary way that we show respect is with our words, right? Often. The word wholesome in Proverbs carries with the idea of healing, a corrective. And this verse reminds us that we need to give attention to how we speak sometimes. Do us good. Paul admonished us to what? To speak the truth in what? In love, not hate. Not give it back to them just because they gave it to you. The way we say something will go a long way into determining how well it is going to be received. Learning how to be truthful and tactful at the same time really is an absolute essential of being respectful. But preacher, I just tell it like it is. I tell it like it is, and I let the chips fall where they may. And you know, if they can't handle that, then that's their fault. But you know what? That's not being frank. That's being mean and disrespectful to people from a believer standpoint. Now, I didn't come up with this, but someone said this about having tact. That's an old terminology, but listen to this. Having tact, listen. They said tact is the ability to make a point without making an enemy. Secondly, tact is when you tell someone to go jump off a cliff in a way that makes them look forward to the journey. Then thirdly, tact is treating everybody as if they knew what they were talking about. And then I like this last one. Tact is the art of telling someone he's open-minded when he's really just got a hole in his head. You know what? A lot of it has to do with how you speak the truth, isn't it? Real quickly, number 2, how can we show respect When we are served, we need to be understanding and not demanding. When we are served, we need to be understanding and not demanding. There's a good passage that goes with this, and I want to quickly give it to you. Luke chapter 6 and verse 31 says, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also likewise." When we are served, we need to be understanding and not demanding. And then number three, I wish I had time to elaborate on all these. But number three, when we disagree, we need to be gentle and not judgmental. Now, I know I'm speaking to believers today, and this is a little bit different message. But listen, if we're not out here being representative of God and showing respect, then who's going to do it? Because it has to start in the church, doesn't it? How can we show respect? When we disagree, we need to be gentle and not judgmental. There's a good passage that goes along with that in Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. Says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." You know, I know this to be true. The Bible speaks of this, that every word that comes forth out of our mouth, we're going to have to give an answer to it, if it was kind or unkind. Listen, we're going to have to give an answer to God for that. When we disagree, we need to be gentle and not judgmental. We're going to give an account to God for that. So, listen, you say, "Well, preacher, what do I need to do? If there's something that's been done unkind, then you need to confess that and make it right with the Lord." You may need to go to that person and make it right with that person or whatever. But this reverse reminds us that ultimately we're going to give an account before the Lord. We may not think that. Nobody knows. God knows. We all have to watch that, don't we? Including this preacher. Number four. How can we show respect? When we share our faith, listen to me, when we share our faith, and we should be, right? When we share our faith, we need to be respecting and not rejecting. When we share our faith, we need to be respecting and not rejecting. There's a good passage in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that seeketh, that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." That's 1 Peter 3:15. When we share our faith, we need to be respecting, not rejecting. In other words, we cannot argue with people. By the way, we cannot argue people into heaven. You figure that out? Sometimes we want to twist people's arm and make them believe what we believe or whatever, but you're not going to be able to argue that person into heaven. It just doesn't work. Showing disrespect doesn't work. By the way, we should show gentleness and respect when we share our faith with others. That's how you came to Jesus, right? What if somebody came to you in a mean-spirited way and trying to twist your arm and make you accept Jesus? You would have never done that. But when somebody showed you respect and love, and kindness. I was with the parishes the other night when Gary went on to be with the Lord, and that was just such a sweet time. But it was a young man out there, matter of fact, I went to school with. I don't mind telling you his name. His name is William Smith. William's got a tree service business here in Prattville. William told me, he says, "You know how I got to church? First time I went to church," William said, "Gary was riding by somehow, saw me out my yard, I believe it was. Gary stopped by, and he stopped, and he just started talking to me and just kind of carrying on. And he says, I really didn't know Gary. We got to talking about different things, Gary invited me to church. And he says, I'd never been before, and he says, I didn't really care about going. And he says, you know, because of the way Gary treated me that day in my yard, I thought, I'm going to go visit his church." And he went. And William got saved. Oh, listen. We never know who we're going to impact, do we? We never know just by showing respect and by showing, by being that witness, by respecting rather than rejecting. Well, I'm not going to talk to that person because, you know, look how they wear their hair. He's got an earring in his ear. I'm not going to share my faith with them. You know, to be honest, I used to think that way. But if somebody would have treated you that way, you may not have had the opportunity to accept Christ, right? Because, you know, we can all look at one another and find fault. Oh, listen, there's some outside things about us that we can all see, or maybe the way we carry ourselves. We can pick and choose if we witness that way, and that's not the way to witness, is it? Oh, listen, then the last thing, how can we show respect when people are rude? You know what Jesus did when people treated Him in a rude manner? He treated them. He responded politely. Just with His tenderness. When Jesus spoke, it got the attention of those in authority. He could have easily been rude and mistreated and come back because He's God, right? But no, He did what we should do, and that is sometimes when we want to treat somebody with rudeness or disrespect, He responded politely. Romans 12:17, and I give you this passage. He responded politely. In Romans 12:17, Paul says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." In other words, don't pay back somebody evil for evil. He says, "Provide things honest in the sight of all men." In other words, don't retaliate by being rude back. That only makes things worse. You see, the fourth rule of communication is act, but don't react. God expects us to react to every situation, every individual in manner that is biblical. Ephesians 4:31-32 says, "Let all bitterness, let all wrath, let all anger, let all clamor and evil speaking to be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Church, what I just read is right there in the Bible. I don't serve a sissy God. And this is no sissy book. What God said there, some would interpret that as no backbone, what I read. But you know what? It takes more backbone to stand up and treat people with the kindness of God than what we're seeing today in our society. And what bothers me is our kids are catching hold. This is the way you're supposed to treat them. Because I see it done at school. I see it done on television, at work. Have you noticed some of the cartoons out there now? Listen. I would be afraid to even let my kids watch some of that junk today. There's no Bugs Bunny anymore. I mean, even the Roadrunner he was a little bad, I guess. But was it the Roadrunner? Who was what was it? Coyote. Now, some of them got a little rough. Some of you like me, you don't remember. But listen. There's nothing wrong with referring back to this book. It's God's love letter to mankind. You say, "Preacher, I have abused this. I've done somebody wrong." You know what? Thank God for an altar. Thank God that we can come and make things right if need be. Thank God that we can go to that person. There may be a family member, maybe a friend. It may be somebody you work with that you realize, "Hey, I've lost my testimony. I'm a Christian, but yet, you know what? I allowed myself to lose my testimony by showing disrespect." You know, I can still disagree with you, but have to do it in the way that God has taught me to do it. You know, with the love and respect for all mankind. May God help us to bring that value that's lost back in our churches, in our society. Let's all stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Christians are praying. If God spoke to your heart concerning any matter that we spoke about this morning, hey, listen, if there's a need to go somebody, even in your own church, I would encourage you to take care of that. But sometimes you realize the reason sometimes we treat others maybe with disrespect because that's the way we've been used to treating God. We may not say it straightforward like that, but sometimes that's the way we are. Maybe you've lost your respect with the Lord. Maybe God, through something that's gone on, you feel like He's done you wrong. You know what? Thank God for His love and mercy. He's willing to forgive and forget. Are you willing to make that right today, Father?